Welcome back to Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori, and I am delighted to say good morning to Warren Botke, who is the head teaching instructor at PGA National and was Brooke Koepka's childhood coach. Warren, thanks so much for joining us here on Talkin' Golf.
Good morning, Ann. Thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you.
You must just be beside yourself. I mean, how thrilled are you that your former student, Brooks Koepka, holds the largest 54-hole lead in PGA Championship history heading into today's final round?
Oh, it's incredible. It's hard to wrap your arms around it. He just have had an incredible journey, and to see this now, it's just hard to comprehend.
What was he like as a kid?
Oh, he was just a great kid. I mean, he was a little shy. I got the opportunity to meet Brooks through his dad. I've always given his dad lessons, and I actually knew his dad before Brooks was even born. And his dad, Bob, is a 3-handicapper, and he came to me when he was about 10 and a half years old, and he said, "Hey, look, I've done all I can with him. He's all yours, and you take him from there." And we worked from about 10 and a half years old to almost 18, and it's just been a great journey. He's just been a great kid. And, you know, I could tell, you know, he was a little shy and kind of quiet kid, you know, from 10 to 14. And then little by little, he started to come out of his shell. And all of a sudden, he started putting the pedal to the metal and started to win little junior tournaments. And from there on, look where he is today.
Unbelievable. He was a baseball player before he turned to golf, right?
Yes, he was. And, he ended up getting hurt in a car accident. And broke his collarbone, and therefore he knew no more contact sports. And his dad was such a golfer, and he enjoyed golf. There was a lot of competitiveness between his dad and his brother, Chase. And I think from there, you know, he ended up taking golf very, very seriously. You know, he was kind of a shy kid, kind of awkwardly shy. And, you never knew what he was thinking, but he was always concentrating and listening well to what I had to tell him. And he performed well.
I remember seeing a special that they did on the Golf Channel. They've been running it all week. And his mother, who apparently is a former TV reporter, said that he would imagine the ball flight when he was a kid. He would just talk about, you know, thinking about how a ball moves in the air. Was he that obsessed with the game?
He turned out to be that way. And he was the kind of kid you had to drag off the range at dark. He just couldn't get enough of golf. He was super passionate, always asked different questions, very inquisitive. And I knew right then and there, you know, this is something that he was like a sponge. He just wanted to mop up more information, but a very stoic kid. You didn't know what was going on inside. And he would ask certain questions, but very quiet, and always gave you that twitch in the eye where you were wondering, what's he thinking?
And that's so good to have that kind of quality on a golf course. It's like a chess player, right? You just don't know what's going on between the ears.
Exactly. And, you know, the mental side now, as you see him, people are kind of trying to figure him out, you know. And a lot of people, the media itself, really kind of misunderstood him. They kind of thought he was a little arrogant. But, you know, there's a fine line between confidence and cocky. And I've always taught him, I said, always be confident. Don't be cocky, because people aren't going to, you know, like that.
Well, definitely. I mean, he's definitely confident. And I think you have to be, as a champion, you have to be confident. You almost have to be a little cocky. But was he that confident as a junior golfer?
Well, he was. And there were times when he's 13, 14 years old, we'd be on the putting green. And he said to me, you know, when he was around 13 and a half, you know, I'm going to play in the Masters. And I said, Brooks, you know what? I love that. I said, I'll tell you what, I'll make a deal with you. If you do play in the Masters, I will be on that first tee at your first Masters. And I said, I'll tell you what, you better hurry up. I'm not getting any younger. So it was, the April of 2015 on that Thursday, he was in his first Masters, and I was on that first tee with him. His mom and dad were there, and he says, wow, when he got to the tee, I can't believe that you remembered. And I said, hey, I'm a man of my word, and I told you I'd be here, and here I am.
That is a great story. You just must be thrilled. I mean, it's such a great message for young people, you know, to visualize being in the Masters when you're that young. And there he was, right? And there he is.
Exactly. There he was, and there he is. And he said in an interview that it meant so much to him that I was there, and he hoped that I was as pleased as he was, but he doesn't realize how much of a joy he's been to me and some of the things that he has done. And he's just been so humble, and he's been so gracious. And to give me the shout-out he gave me last year at the PGA Championship, you know, he didn't thank his mom, he didn't thank his dad, his caddy. He thanks me. And he said, hey, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be here. And it's just, you know, you do your job, you try to do the best you can and to give back to the game of golf, but to have him single me out like that, I almost started crying. It was just too much and overwhelming to handle.
Yeah, he just seems like such a nice young man, and obviously he appreciates you so much. And now Claude Harmon is his coach now, and I understand he's also working with Jeff Pierce with his putting. So how long has he been working with Claude Harmon?
He's been with Claude about 5 years, and he actually has a team. I was on the range yesterday with him, Friday actually, and, you know, he spent 15 minutes with Jeff Pierce on the putting green. Then he came over to hit some golf balls with Claude Harmon for 15 minutes, and then he went into the bunker and the short game area with Pete Cowan. He's been with Pete for quite a few years. Pete's a renowned short game golf coach in Europe, and Pete's done a wonderful job. So he has a well-rounded team, and I'm kind of his confidant. I'm kind of his friend and his second dad, and I'm just there to kind of, you know, coach him and cheer him on, you know.
Well, I know in the press conference last night, somebody asked if there is any doubt in his mind that he was going to win, and Brooks said, no.
No. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say it's hard for the way he's playing and the way he's focused. He's not that kind of golfer that's going to shoot an 80. He's just going to shoot even par or maybe one over on a bad day, you know, like he did last night. But, you know, today I'm excited for him and what he's going to bring to the table. And he's not going to let off the throttle. I can see he's going to make his lines, make his shots, visualize them, and get the job done and finish the race.
Yeah, he said he was going to try to par this course to death. That's what he said. So was that his game plan going into the final round?
Yeah, his game plan today in the final round is to play against Mr. Par. He's not going to worry about what anybody's doing ahead or what's behind. He's just going to try to beat old man Par. And if he does that or even ties old man Par, someone actually has to go and shoot a 62 or a 63 to beat him. And this golf course isn't going to give that up. It gave one of them up to him, but I can't see it happening again.
Warren, what did you think of round three? Shot an even par 70, 3 birdies, 3 bogeys. I didn't particularly think he had his A game, but the wind did pick up yesterday afternoon. It played so tough yesterday. It always plays tough, but particularly tougher yesterday afternoon. What did you think of Koepka's game round three?
Well, he actually said that he played and hit the ball better yesterday than he did in his 65 in his second round. He hit the instructor ball better. He had better lines. He just, you know, fell short on a few putts, and he basically was nervous about having a 3 or 4 footer coming back. So he just got the ball close. He lagged. I wouldn't say he was playing conservative. He was trying to meet him and trying to make those putts. But what he didn't want to do is put himself in a 3, 4, 5 foot area where he's going to put added pressure. He didn't need that.
Yeah, he looked like he blocked a couple drives, and yes, he came up short on a number of putts.
Well, the thing is, he's so strong. The rough is not an intimidating factor for him because he can dig down in there and get a ball out of that rough without any problem. So it's really not that much of a disadvantage to him. To some of the other golfers, it's tough because they're not that strong.
So from a mental perspective, and we kind of mentioned this a little earlier, I don't think there's anybody tougher. He says he's more focused out there than any other player. And I believe him. I don't know how you get rid of all that stress, all those nerves, you know, all those perhaps question marks in your head, particularly in the final round of a major championship, and just focus on the next shot. How does one learn to do that, Warren?
Well, I think now with the confidence, knowing that he's done it, I think he's now knows how to go about that in a business. He made the comment in an interview. He's looking to win 10 majors or more. And, you know, he's never said that to me. But I think when he's kind of like a snowball going down a hill. He's gaining steam, and he's just building more and more momentum. And now once you're in that arena, you feel so much comfortable that more comfortable that you don't have to worry about it. And, he was saying things in an interview that when he was playing with Tiger, he heard the contact of the ball, but he couldn't tell you where it went. He was just so focused on his game and beating old man Parr. He didn't realize what Tiger was doing. He really didn't care.
And that is extraordinary, to be able to do that, particularly with all the fanfare, the Tiger commands, and all the hoopla. It's like a circus atmosphere out there, and Brooks said he kind of enjoyed it.
He does. He gets up for that type of thing because it's a childhood idol. And he had the opportunity to play with Tiger in 2015 in his first PGA championship. And he was just so enamored by Tiger. He played like a spectator. He watched every single shot, every swing, and what Tiger did. And he went out and shot a 77 and ended up having, a horrific day because he wasn't focused on his game. He was just so enamored about Tiger. And that was a big lesson he took away from there now, to know that, hey, I don't care what anyone's doing around me. I got to take care of business. I got to stay focused and beat old man Parr. And if I do that, good things are going to happen.
What do you think is the number one thing you were able to teach him at a young age, Warren?
Well, we did a lot of things on the golf course. I would drop balls and say to him, what would you do from this scenario? And he would say this, and I would say, that's a high percentage, that's a low percentage. So I got him around the golf course. I had him use more and more imagination and try to be artistic with different shot shapes and things like that. I taught him a Tiger stinger and said, look, when the wind comes up, this is how you hit a low shot and a stinger. This is going to help you. And let me tell you, 85% of the field will back themselves up and be intimidated by the wind because they don't have a backup plan. You will have plan B. You will know how to execute this shot. And he never forgot that, and he still uses it today.
And what do you think he does better now than anybody else?
Well, I mean, obviously his mental approach and his preparation. When he comes to these majors, he's so prepared mentally. He's prepared with his team. They have closed-door meetings with his team, and they do his thing. And I totally stay out of it. I don't bother him. Try to send him a text of, good luck or any questions or something like that. But, he's in his office. It's all business. And then after that, we'll go ahead and talk. But before that, there's nothing going on.
Where will you be this afternoon while he's playing?
Well, I'm going to, not let him know that I'm here. I told him goodbye yesterday and told him I'm not going to probably be here today. And he was like, okay. I said, hey, look, I got business to take care of in Florida. I'm flying home. And I'm going to do like I did last year. I'm going to watch it on TV and, let it be. Let it happen. But I plan on being there this morning, and I'm going to fly under the radar, and I'll be on the 18th green when he gets to hoist that trophy. I missed the other three majors. I watched them from home, and this time I'm going to be there. This is my organization's tournament. He represents me. He represents the PGA of America. I've been a member 38 years, and I'm so excited for him to come back and win this tournament back-to-back.
Warren Bakke, such a joy to talk to you. I wish you all the best. I can't wait to see you out there this afternoon. And I guess when he was a kid, could you have ever imagined that Brooks would have been going for his fourth major title in 2 years? I mean, just crazy.
No,
stuff.
I mean, to win 4 out of 8 is just, uncomprehendable. I just never thought that would happen. I mean, I knew he would win more majors, but he is just on such a roll. It's just like everybody step out of the way, and now there is more and more of an intimidation factor, kind of like the pre-Tiger years where people heard his roar, and all of a sudden everybody's eyes are getting wide and going, look out, Koepka's on the board, what's he doing? And that's what, it's a very, 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 very interesting to see now.
Well, you're as confident as he is, so I wish you all the best. Thank you so much for joining me, and hope to talk to you again soon.
Okay, thank you so much, Ann. You're the best. I really appreciate your show, and you have yourself a great day.
That was Warren Botke, who coached Brooks Koepka from the time Brooks was 10 and a half to 17 years of age. So 7 and a half years, his childhood coach. Thanks so much. We'll be back.